welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
Hi, thanks for joining in. So, how are you? Did you all get to see the moon last night? Our harvest moon, it was brilliant, wasn't it? So huge. So this is I'm going to be working with you all and playing with you all, working through the energetic understanding I have, the intuitive understanding I have for this radio show. There's something new coming in, as it does during sessions and during meditation. Chunks of information that I'm not quite sure yet what it actually means. I haven't wrapped words around it. So that's what we're doing now. I've had an amazing week myself to launch into what this topic is about today, where we have this human tendency to make things, to go to the heaviness, to go to the seriousness. And it's not even like when you hear those words, it's what you expect I'm going to be talking about, because it's much more subtle than that as usual with what I talk about. It's much more hidden, where we will naturally, like when something is going well and we're looking to see how can we improve it, how can we make the momentum faster, how can we increase sales, how can we make our presentation more effective and better and have more flash. All of that, if you think about it, can be approached from the perspective of this isn't enough. So it really comes down to this awareness of where are we coming from. So I have this, I'm going to give a personal example. In that way, you guys can connect in more with what I'm saying, and it will help me get the energy chunked out into words better. New venture started, yeah? Amongst many going on in my life now, in my business and platform. You'll hear more. Those of you who have subscribed to my email list, you'll hear more coming up soon. And if you're not, you can go ahead, go to the link down below to get to my website. It's www.allison1ljkay.com. And there's a link on the bottom right to get to my website. And there's if you sign up for my newsletter, you get a free 45-minute theta healing for success, clearings from all different angles about success to clear typical blocks and past experiences and energetic chunks of yuckiness around success, failure, mistakes, blah, 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 to open up your energy to allow for you to step forward into more levels of success and call it to you to create more success in your life. It's a great, I actually really like that theta healing that I give away for free when you sign up for my newsletter. And so when you do, you'll get information about some of the new stuff coming up, and some of which is free. And there's been a lot coming through. There's been a lot of changes this week and last week and the week before that. Those of my regular listeners and who are my yoga and meditation students and my clients and who know me, know that this is the constant of Allison's life. But in the last couple of weeks in particular, because I have just really since July been calling forth this massive upgrade vibrationally and blasting forward in my life. And it feels like the dynamic, before I go into the personal example, on the planet right now that I've been seeing a lot of this week is what this topic is about. The tendency when we're creating something new. I'm not even talking in general. We've talked about this topic before. Our tendency to be heavy and to go into making something wrong. That's not where we're coming from today. It's more the tendency of when we're moving forward and creating something new. Are we still even doing that from the perspective of not enough, lack? And if we are, then how does that frame the way that we go after creating something new? So it makes a very different, for a very different experience. And so this week I've really been hearing and seeing a lot in what other healers who I work with around the world are talking about, and in what my clients are experiencing, and some of the other people who I interact with in my life, colleagues. And it's like this energy is out there right now. I don't know how much of it has to do with this harvest full moon. This is a really important, apparently significant full moon, aside from the autumnal equinox and the harvest moon and the energies it contained in and of itself with that part of it, the moon. But if you go to my Facebook page and you look at the, there's an entry there about the significance. There's a fair amount of numerology surrounding this moon. It's a lot of it is about really upgrading. And so as you can hear, I'm talking about that too. And so I know in trust in my own life and in my own experience, I've been so attuned to the moon and the moon's energies and mooning with it and menstruating with it and really seeding something in the new moon and having some ceremony and ritual around that, however simplistic, and consciously, okay, what am I going to create with this moon cycle? And then in the 2 weeks building up to the full moon, really sending energy. And now the full moon's the peak of it, 3 days before, 3 days after. And then the 2 weeks after that, the waning, the completion of some of creation, yeah? So I'm always really in tune with the moon. Yet there's this extra element to this moon, this upgrade energy that's going on. And so what I'm also seeing with a lot of the people I just mentioned who I interact with on a daily basis is this stepping forward into more, the stepping forward into saying yes to more power, more potency, more living and creating the life that we want, that we desire to live, actively taking steps, less blocks. And in that, it's like there's this management beyond the typical capital O observer self that I talk about in my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? That's just, here I am going for the download from the energy into words. It's an example. One of the women who I'm working with, I have a good alignment with, she ran her car into a wall yesterday. The wall was never there before. Prior to that, for the week leading up to that, or even the week before that, not this week necessarily, there was a question of what is wrong? Why isn't this enough? Well, how can we make this better? How can we make this more? This isn't happening. Like a focus on what wasn't happening instead of a focus on what had already happened in this creation of a new venture. And so it's almost what it meant last night when we spoke about it, what it signified, it just really strongly went into my consciousness as a flag. Like, this is a message, Allison. This is part of this new understanding you're gaining. It's like we're so used to having something wrong. We're so used to coming from that perspective that we look for it and we create something wrong where there's nothing wrong. It's like we don't know how to energetically and mentally comes later, but we don't know how to energetically settle into everything's okay. Even with all of my tools and techniques with a meditation and my calmness and my beingness and my ability to be present, taking and then the mindfulness, going into a new venture and taking that into the actioning form of it, it's when in actioning of creating a new venture, seeing how the perspective of the mind so naturally focuses on, okay, how can we make this better? What else is not right here? What can we tweak here? What can we fix here? What's the problem here? Again, instead of going into, okay, great, we have this new venture. This is a fantastic idea. How do we build on this? Where is there more juice? Where is there more fire? Where can we create more from the greatness we already have? And the one of my clients this week said, you know, so we had a really great session last week. He's on a weekly rhythm with me. And it was a really expansive session last week. He had a great breakthrough. He took a lot of action. And then this week came in and said, you know, I just, after all that expansion, I just felt like I was surprised by how much I didn't move forward. And as he was giving me more of his update, he said, you know, I was trying those two different exercises to be able to energetically expand myself and create more of what I want that you suggested, Allison. And I couldn't really concentrate. I was having difficulty focusing, unlike it was right after in the session with you and right after the session for the weekend. I was having difficulty focusing, and I was so actually, and this is a great example of what I'm talking about. He was coming from the perspective of, I'm blocked again. I didn't move forward enough. This isn't gone. I have to do more work. I'm wrong. I'm bad. This is bad. There's something wrong with me still that needs fixing. Like all of this heaviness and all of this making himself wrong, making the thing that was happening wrong and not enough. And I was like, don't you understand? I was directing him over to, you've got to understand, you're on the path of power. You've made a claim for more power. And what you're in right now actually is now active management with the capital O observer of your old behaviors where they limited you. But now you're not living in the limiting mind, and you're not living in the limiting behaviors and the limiting contracted body. You're now able, you've gained enough momentum and juice for your higher self to make new choices, that you're now identifying both of these habitual holding patterns, one in your mind and one in your body. Right? It's amazing. Absolutely beautiful in the redirecting, absolutely beautiful in the redirecting for him. Off of there being, you know, something still needing to be fixed, and why didn't it just go away, to this is actually active management, you know? I mean, it's a gain, a huge gain now that he's no longer locked down in that behavior and he can't see anything else possible, that all he can see is what he is being, knowing that he's stuck and coming to me for help. And instead, that he hasn't revisited the stuckness, he's pulled out of it enough to be able to see it in action as he's choosing more for himself. And it's brilliant. But just that tendency to like go into, okay. So I know that from living in Asia for 10 years and coming back here, now living here for 3, I was reminded of the American perspective of quick delivery. What do we call it? Tangible, immediate, instant gratification. And so I feel like that's partially what's at play here. Not to say that every other culture on the planet is patient. That's not at all what I'm saying. But there is a tangible, noticeable difference to our culture because of the marketing and consumerism and what we're promised and what we expect and the customer service delivering it. So it carries over into this energetic work and the world of consciousness. And I've talked about this before in other shows. But what's also at play here is, from the meditation world, from what I know about the way the mind works, from the studying of Buddhism in my own mind and all of that world, yoga too, because yoga is built, Buddhism's built on yoga, the practice of meditation coming out of yoga, is the tendency, why would they start a meditation practice if there wasn't something to quote-unquote discipline? I know, we just, like these simplistic things we just so often overlook because we're so going, we're so busy, we're so up on the surface of life, so in the 3D tangible world, that to slow down and really look at where did these things come from, where did the, yeah. So the mind, and I've talked about this a lot, and I talk about it in my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? The mind, when faced with the energy of the soul expanding, it's new, and it doesn't know new. It clamps down on frame of reference from past. I mean, that's where it comes from. That's its functionality. That's its actual mechanical design. I've talked about this in other shows, too, with the perceptual sensory equipment in our brains, how we pick up from the physical 5 senses, the data from the environment. What gets processed is our mind from the sensory data then goes into, okay, creating the perception. So we have the factual statement mentally of, okay, this is an apple. But what it draws upon are files of what we've already experienced and what we've seen. That's all it goes on. So all the mind is able to grasp is the past, is previous experiences, and then everything is relevant to those previous experiences. So when we're bringing in a whole new lifestyle or a whole new thing, venture we're doing or creating, and we've never been this way before, and we've never created this level of ease in our life, for example, before, or we've never created this level of love in our life before, or if it's a relationship or a new community, or we've never created this level of prosperity before, all of that, the mind is seeking, searching for a frame of reference so it can lock back down on a conclusion. This is how it is, and file it away. I mean, it's just a natural mechanism of the mind. It's not you. It's not personal. But it feels personal because then, I mean, we're so used to making everything personal first and foremost, but then if we come out of making everything personal, like what that person's doing over there, why aren't they smiling at me? That must have something to do with me. Is there something wrong? Did I do something wrong? That whole dance that can go on in our mind, for example. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about instead how the mind can go into repeated patterns. In Sanskrit, they're called samskaras, and it's like the most repeated, frequent way you go in your mind. Do you go into self-judgment, self-criticism? Is that the typical path that your mind goes on the most repeated? Is it blaming others and being a victim? Is that where your mind goes most naturally? And obviously, being engaged in a practice of self-observation of some sort, whether it be meditation or access consciousness or any of the other practices, you can see, if once you get detached enough, you start to see your patterns, and you can see your most habitual voices in your head, if you will, or most well-worn pathways. And so what he was coming from was a very well-worn pathway that was, I'm used to being an underachiever. I'm used to not going for success. So in the face of him creating a new venture and stepping forward and starting to take action on it, any little thing, his mind was looking for what in access consciousness we call evidentiary contrivances. But any little thing his mind was looking for proof, look, see, you are a failure. That is how it works. Isn't it extraordinary? So in having that not be wrong and not buying into the thoughts that of the mind looking for what's familiar and clamping down on it and making this new thing the same old thing, and instead being aware from information like what I'm giving now and self-observation of that tendency, you can sidestep it. How does it get any better than that? What else is possible? And redirect it with those two main access consciousness tools. For example, come back to the breath. Come back to the present moment. Thank you, mind. That's funny. Thank you. Or I know you feel that way. But with the element of radical self-love, but we're going forward. What else is possible? Literally disciplining as if a child, the errant mind. So it seems like there's this extra added element on the planet right now that's really still fallout from December 21st galactic alignment. And it feels like it's I'm seeing a V right now. And if you go to the base of the letter V, it's two intersecting points, but the lines are going out in opposite directions, right? Not totally opposite directions, but from different worlds, we could say. The letter V, the two lines that come together and intersect at the base of the V. And that maybe it's all going to just come together, the two different paradigms. So the old one, where it was not based in consciousness, and it was not based in our own empowerment to work with our minds and our consciousness to see how we actually actively create our own realities, how it was based on cause and effect and more physical Newtonian graphics and karma. And this is exactly what my book is about. Not exactly. It's very much what my book's about. This new paradigm that's coming in based, the old paradigm based on our old science. And then this new paradigm based on the new sciences and the globalization with the Eastern influences now and what they've understood consciousness to be and to do is on the other leg of the V, where we do understand how everything that we're vibrating at and thinking, we are just this walking emanation of energy, and the energy contains information, and that information, our own localized personal field at some level outside of our physical body, beyond a couple of the however many invisible bodies are formed around our physical body. I think in India, it's like 8. For example, one's a mental body, one's an ethereal body, etc. So whatever, beyond our physical body, wherever it meets the external to our own localized personal field, and it meets the external field, how that interacts. And I've done shows about that before. And what it brings to us in our lives, what we create. So I have, again, my book talking about the science of basically creation. You looking at how our thoughts interact with consciousness and then how it comes into physicalization. And I have a lot of radio shows about that too, back in the beginning. So it's like these two very different divergent worlds. And so in the one that's on the left, the one that we're leaving, the paradigm that we're leaving, that's the one that we're not empowered. We're victims and we need authority figures. It's a hierarchy. We need people to tell us what to do from the outside, because it's not our responsibility. Stuff just happens. It's cause and effect. I hit cue ball, and then as a consequence, aimed towards its yellow ball, and as a consequence, the yellow ball gets hit and goes in pocket. So in this new one, we're maybe, I was just going to say, maybe it's tripping up some people, like how much are we, and I've asked this question myself repeatedly, how much are we responsible? I mean, does it ever end? Does it end at any point? Or is there ever just randomness? Is there ever just other people who are in our world and doing their own thing, and it does not have anything to do with us? And so what I see too is that we're frequently in the circles of people who understand that we're creating our realities based on everything I just said and I've said before, that then we're responsible for everything. And I've been, and this is the kind of thing I do in my life, and I've done throughout my life, is ask those kinds of radical, cutting-edge questions, because I when it's this space in me that's really connected to the woman who is the person doing an energy healing session, it's that same intuitive place that is like a strong knowing, and it feels like it comes from there too. It's like, isn't there just a certain point where it just stops being us? And so as these two worlds meet, as the old paradigm and the new paradigms come together and converge at the V, we're still in that happening. We're getting closer to the base of the V, so the two worlds are closer together, so maybe we're seeing the contrast more, which may lead to why there's been it feels like a focus more this week on blocks, on like what's wrong, instead of it being light and easy. Only. And staying away from where somebody else, just because we have an awareness of, okay, that person tends to create chaos, let me stay away from that. So it continues to be light and easy for us. I'm trying right now to understand, like, how much is us? How much? So how do we have light and fun? How do we have it not get heavy? How do we have it not be only about the shadow that we need to heal, that we need to fix? Because then, I mean, I would be out of business, supposedly, if I bill myself as a healer, which I don't. I've been shifting in my client base too, where I'm working increasingly with, instead of what I was doing more of, which was physical health issues, all of the whole range, including the big C, I've been shifting that increasingly. I mean, it's not that I won't take people like that, but I've been asking for lighter and lighter clients. People who are already actively playing with their tools and their light, their life is already light, and then they want to just have more, be more, create more, and can you give me a boost? Which is what I do in my life, actually, come to think of it. So What I'm asking is, as I've been coming out of, as I've been experiencing this that I just described, it seems like what's also happening on the planet right now, is it possible that this just happened with Syria? My dad and I on Yom Kippur night actually had dinner at a New York style deli. I ironically had a Thai dish that rocked. I was surprised. I was like, should I just stick with the grouper Reuben and eat bread for the cheat meal of the week, or should I go for this Thai dish at a New York deli? And the Thai dish rocked. Had like a mango and I forget salsa. I think mango and passion fruit salsa on shrimp that was over flatbread with Thai peanut sauce and some arugula. It was brilliant. So we're talking about Syria, and Dad was saying something about, and it was an old school tune of, you know, he had just come from the sermon from the rabbi on Yom Kippur, which is the most holy day for the Jewish tradition. And since my mom passed, I've been going with my dad to temple on Yom Kippur since I've been back in the States. And this year I had an event, so I didn't make it. And so we met for the break the fast after, because it's a day of fasting. It's called the Day of Atonement. It's a heavy day. You start the fast the night before, for those of you who don't know, and you spend the day in temple looking at all your wrongdoings and asking God for forgiveness. It's a really heavy day. The Day of Atonement is its English translation, Yom Kippur. It's the second holiday of the two Jewish holidays that signify the new year. And I mean, the intention is to be a lighter day, you know, ultimately. So we're talking at the end of this day, and, you know, he was all skittish at the beginning when we were sitting down, just wanted to sit at a table because he just wanted food. And I was just smiling to myself because I was like, yep, he's been fasting. So we're talking, and it comes up about Syria, and he brings up about how it's needed to fight. They don't understand, they being the enemy, don't understand anything but force. And I was like, I don't know if I agree with that. What if, because of the way the world's changing, we have actually more power behind coming in from an opposite direction? Like Mother Teresa saying, if you're going to protest war, don't invite me. But if you're going to do a protest for peace, please invite me. And I had him there with that saying because he heard it. He's done enough of his own shifting around my mother's situation. And then after that, dealing with her passing and getting to know me and spending more time with me too. He has enough background now to be able to receive it and make sense out of it and not be so lost like he was years ago when I would talk my whole life, basically. we'd still talk, yeah, but there's more comprehension now, and it was good. And so I had his interest, and so I kept going, and I said, yeah, what if instead of that direct approach, we did something more indirect, like there were more people lighting up on the planet, there were more people searching for the light inside themselves and activating it and coming from it and meditating. You see more people attracted to natural healing, energy healing, to the work I do, to meditation, to yoga in the States. He does yoga himself. And they're looking for more peace and more calm and more quiet. So if more people are doing that, and then I quoted to him from David Hawkins, the power versus force calibration measurements of like fear being the calibration at 200 and joy being, I think it's 600. And how it used to be, if one of us is on and awake, it would affect 10,000 people. And now if one of us is on and awake, it affects 100,000. And so he actually received that and considered it. And today I just heard from a client that what went down in Syria was, instead of, my dad was telling me from the rabbi's sermon about how the UK had just decided not to join us in Syria. And I told my dad the reaction of what I was doing on 9/11 and around 9/11 in Taiwan, as I was reading the international newspapers and looking at their reaction worldwide. And how there were people expressing their loving support and concern and sorrow for those who had died. They were also saying, in the wake of when then we had whoever it was, Secretary of State or our Defense Secretary, going around the world asking for allies in the war on terrorism, and looking at like the Prime Minister's response in I don't remember what Asian country it was. It was either like Malaysia or Indonesia. I don't remember, but they were talking about having dealt with their tourism. It was a female prime minister having dealt with their terrorism before in their own country and educate, finding out what the people were upset about and then working with that and how they weren't supporting Bush's war on terrorism and how we were able to, you know, get the countries we did to align in Iraq. And then looking now at how, so my dad brought up how the rabbi was talking about the UK and how the rabbi was talking about how we must make sure that there is support for more peace. And my dad apparently during the break, instead of going home, went to the library in the temple and read a book written by a prime minister of Israel who was also saying something about peace and wanting more peace and going for peace. And so something was seated in my dad's consciousness, apparently, as I'm realizing right now. And so what I said was able to penetrate more. And so then a couple of days later, it goes to mediation instead of bombing. So for me, that really filled my heart because it feels like I remember it's one of the most tangible mental things I've ever had go on in my life, where it was a memory, it was a feeling I had and a mental thought I had that was like one of the most tangible ones I've ever had in my life. I was in Taiwan. It was the morning. I was in the school I taught in, the international school, walking down the hall, and I heard a TV on. I went into the classroom. This is a TV. This is a room that teachers used more than being a classroom. And so I went in there, and the news was on, and I saw the announcement that Bush had just bombed Iraq. And I remember just going, oh, wow, you did not make that choice. And I felt the shift energetically on our planet of the force instead of the light. And I mean, I worked on Clinton and Gore's campaign back in 92. And as part of doing the work I was doing in California on the local political campaigns. And I remember having also run through my mind, if Gore had gotten in, then we would not be looking at this kind of reaction. It is what it is. It was what it was. But the point is that it's like we're now, it feels like we're now shifting back into the light. Like there, we've dipped, and maybe this is, this is what I'm getting, that maybe we've spent the last decade plus dipped in the seriousness post 9/11 and dipped in the heaviness planet wide. That wasn't just about 9/11. That wasn't just about Iraq, but that was about this December 21st, 2012 alignment. I was just telling somebody else this week, and I've talked about it before on my radio show. It bears repeating because it's so significant. So the first place I go to when I come back to the States internationally is the Mayan ruins the first year back. And then I go back for the 2012 December alignment with Susan Shumsky and a group of people on a cruise to the Mayan ruins at Chichen Itza. I was teaching yoga on those, on that cruise and energy healing. And we had gotten a local Mayan shaman to do a ceremony with us. We'd gotten special permission at the Mayan ruins at Chichen Itza. And apparently we were filmed, and I had some friends in different countries tell me they saw me on television at the Mayan ruins. So, I mean, we know that that was a big day. And so the earth the year before, I had my feet barefoot, no shoes, was not pulsating under my feet. The earth this year, on the December 21st alignment, was rocking underneath my feet. I don't mean rocking, moving earthquake-wise. I mean like the amount of electrical impulses happening underneath my feet. It was rocking, riveting. It was quite intense, completely impossible to ignore. And one of the things that that shaman said, and we had a translator, was that the Mayans recognized when they, so we were standing opposite the actual stadium where they came up with the Mayan calendar, that great pyramid that Quetzalcoatl, the half serpent, half bird god, half, what's the bird? Not peacock, not pheasant, phoenix, half phoenix, half serpent, Quetzalcoatl, Mayan god, that comes out the base of each of the stairways on each side of the pyramid at Chichen Itza. So opposite that pyramid that you guys are also familiar with seeing is the stadium that they made the calendar in. And so the Mayan shaman, he's a grandfather elder, was saying that they understood that the December 21st, 2012 alignment was going to be pouring down onto the planet so much activity from the celestial or ethereal or astronomical realms. It was going to be such, I'm going to use it, high vibration, high energy, that they built the pyramids, the pyramid structures. And he said, not just in the Mayan culture, but around the world, in order to help the Earth harness the energies, because they were going to be that high. So, yeah, it was in December, and yeah, it depends on where you're coming from. It may have just seemed like mainstream stuff for the media to go blah 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 blah, but that was really significant. The whole reason why I ever started my show was to debunk this show here that you're listening to, the noise around December 21st, and see it for what it was, which was the time of spiritual awakening, getting ushered in, 26,000 year era ending. So we're still dealing with some really wonky energy, apparently, and I'm not an expert whatsoever on astronomy or astrological significance. I have to follow what others are saying, but what I do know is what I've seen as the effect in people. So for like example, for 2 years prior to the December 21st alignment, after doing energy healing for 17 years and knowing about past lives for about, I don't know, 12, I was for the first time repeatedly over and over again doing past life clearings on people all the time for the 2 years prior to December 21st alignment. It was like it was a massive, and it wasn't my mind obviously directing the show. It was receiving what this person required in front of me, and it was repeated over and over again. People just getting rid of old trauma and heaviness. I mean, in the sessions, I could feel the heaviness. One woman dropped to the floor to her knees because she was letting go of so much heaviness. So we're shifting into a much lighter time, and the time is quicker. I know we all know that. We don't need to go into that, except to, again, reiterate that time is a mental construct. Otherwise, it wouldn't feel different when we're having fun and it goes by quicker than when we're bored and it goes by slower. It's our mind that's going on to a dimension that time and space doesn't matter, and it's making it have a construct so we can be more organized and understand in a linear, concrete, sequential fashion being in this body and having this mind and making things happen and seeing cause and effect on this 3D physical plane. But that's not the way it seems like all these other, I don't know all, but other dimensions work. And we are, as one of my colleagues, Jacqueline Joyce, says of Diamond Alignment, multidimensional beings. And we're opening up more and more to multidimensional living. And what I know, another way to say that is within the Native American tradition, how they talk about the shamans being able to have 1 foot in one world and 1 foot in another world. Meaning what I just said, 1 foot in the physical world and 1 foot in the multidimensional world. So maybe that's partially what that V represents too. So that it's our ability to be able to not be of just one, like predominantly the physical, which is the paradigm that we're coming out of in the West, particularly in America, based on the sciences origins back at the split from the church and science, and even before that with Newton, and before that with Galileo, all that old science we built the industrial era on, and we're just coming out of that with this postmodern era. And then that coincides with the December 21st alignment. And then in my book, I talk about all the new sciences coming out, and quantum physics discovered that our thoughts are affecting, you know, they discovered the observer effect in how our thoughts will cause a reaction in energy, and then there will be a physical change in 1905, and it hasn't even shown up in our textbooks. It rocked Einstein's world. That's why he went into the theory, the gut grand unified theory. That's why he went into researching that, because this rocked his world so much he couldn't deal with it at first. I trace all of that in my book, so if you're interested, you can go to my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong. I don't want to repeat it here. But the point is that there was a convergence of what quantum physics had discovered and the December 21st alignment, and us. So there's more, so we're in a more energy-based time and era now. We're in a more consciousness-based time and era. And in fact, I feel intuitively, and I was just getting this again during a session today, and I get it repeatedly lately. I don't know when it started, in that the results that my clients are getting now, even compared to 3 years ago. And I had a client start 3 years ago, and she was with me for a year and a half. And in that time, she said, I can't believe how different these sessions are. The results are coming quicker. And that was just even in that period of time. But if I were to compare it to even like 7 years ago or 17 years ago, the results are much quicker. Now, some of that has to do with me, and sure. But the times that we're living in, the backdrop, it's quicker for change. So all of this, one of the effects that is of this time that we're living in is because the vibrations are so high, as the Mayans built the pyramids to harness, it also means, as I've said many times, is that it's going to catalyze the darker, lower stuff. And you could see that in the example of me having more past life stuff to clear out in people 2 years leading up to the December 21st alignment. Yeah? And so what it also may have been is catalyzing more chaos, like the 9/11, like the war on terrorism, like the seriousness, and it's all coming together now, like the seriousness that we have been in, particularly in America, since then. I couldn't believe coming back here the heaviness and the seriousness in this country. And it's not to say the Chinese aren't serious, because they are. God knows. But there's, like, and even in Costa Rica, I mean, other cultures live differently, where it's, there's a lightness, and we have been heavy in our country for quite a while now. And so my dad was even talking about, and this is a really insightful aspect to our conversation, about the burdens that Americans carry. And I talked about this as an expat with others too, because it's like I've heard from others when I was living overseas, when talking frankly about their perceptions of Americans, that we take ourselves so seriously, that we take things so seriously. And I think that they see that in places that aren't necessarily democracies, where every voice can be heard here, and in fact we're expected to speak up here. Where everybody gives their opinion. I was even just talking to a Polish friend who lives in the country yesterday, and she was saying how it's like, you know, every American has the right to complain. And I caught what she was saying, and I laughed. I said, yes, and they do. every American has the right to complain. I didn't mean every American complains. I mean, and they do have the right to complain, because it's kind of like our first, that's what's been twisted from our First Amendment freedom of speech, I guess, you know? But one of the questions I asked, too, when I was in my first years living in Taiwan, of my westernized Chinese students at the international school, was how can Taiwan change so quickly? You could never get this amount of change in 1 year or in 2 years in America. This would take 5 to 10 years. Why do you think that is? And what the main answer I got was that because Taiwan's smaller, and America has a much bigger landmass and much bigger population, and so it can't come together as quickly. Absolutely great answer. I was also asking the question and got the awareness that it's also because of needing to give our opinions and being a democratic country and the freedom of speech and all the protesting and giving of, you know, I mean, to just get that all organized in a way that allows us to move forward in a congruent, cohesive fashion slows us way the heck down too. So, when outsiders to America, when I was living overseas and would talk to them, their perspective would be that Americans take themselves so seriously, partially because the reputation is that we give our opinion a lot. And when we would, like I would see myself and other foreigners, I learned this quickly, offer our opinions where our opinions weren't being asked for. Because we were like going on the American style, you know, and for example, within the Chinese culture, you know, you're in a hierarchy and your boss is ahead of you, and they're not necessarily, unless they directly, they're used to working with Americans and foreigners and they directly ask for it, you don't just offer up your opinion the way we do here. And so I remember like watching the learning curve of other incoming foreign teachers too have to like go through that awkwardness where the person who they were talking to, the Chinese administrator or colleague they were talking to, wasn't asking for their opinion. So we have that reputation, and this isn't just based on these experiences I'm talking about, that we like to give our opinions. And so, and we're voiceless. And so if that's the case, then that's a really good way to understand that if we're in a culture that asks us, allows us to give our opinions, then doesn't that also mean that if you couple that with what was talked about in the beginning of this show, we have a mind that can lean towards complaining and more easily goes towards the negative than the positive? I mean, we have to retrain our minds to focus on the positive, right? Doesn't your mind more naturally go towards the negative? What are the stats out there? I think it's like 85%. No, that's not the right one. Somebody measured how many thoughts we have a day, and I think it is 85%, if not higher, of them are negative. So if that's the case, then you see what I'm bringing together. Yeah. So what if there's nothing wrong? What if with all of this awareness, we're moving into a time now that we have just been holding a heck of a lot of space that's been heavy, that's been serious, and that it's reconditioned our society to be more inclined to be serious and heavy and looking for the problems. I feel like, you know, I mean, I knew I needed to write a book giving my fellow Americans who were looking for it the eyes of somebody who lived outside the country for 10 years and who saw things from an energy perspective, not just a physically tangible perspective. And when I did that, I was aware that as I was writing something that was meant to be my dissertation, I became more aware that, okay, this is becoming a little bit long for a dissertation as a holistic life coach. Looking into why are we in America so afraid of the invisible and want to ignore it and need things to be proven and tangible in order to believe in it, whereas other cultures around the world know the powers in the invisible and look to that more. I started to get on in the book, in the writing of it, I was like, this is a book, okay? Is this meant to be a book? Because my bachelor's is in English literature. I moved to San Francisco to go for my master's in creative writing and ended up in the politics instead. So it became a book. And these eyes that see, I offered them because I wanted to help. And that's what I'm doing with this radio show. It's not criticism. It's this country has become serious and heavy. And it's part of the reason also why I ever started this radio show, in that we tend to focus on the negative more because we've been retrained to life is heavy, life is serious, life is tragic. We have all the focus on cancer. You know, I mean, it's been a heavy decade. But the good thing is that we're coming out of it now. That's what I think that V is representing. And that's also what I've heard others starting to see and feel and taste. That this is a heck of a period of adjustment. And we're not through it yet. I mean, it's a 26,000-year era ending. That's pretty huge. And we're going into the times of spiritual awakening. So I would assume that if you go into a more ancient view or longitudinal view, that it wouldn't take just 3 months or 6 months or 8 months. You know, because like I was leading up the 2 years before the alignment, I was working with people on their past life density and releasing the density. So it's like, yeah, I don't think that we're going to be done with it in 8 months. So we're still looking at the reassortment, the fallout as stuff reshuffles itself. I wasn't living in this country in the times that access consciousness grew and got bigger and bigger. I can see the need for it now, of what my fellow Americans were looking for. And I know it's all over the world now, but it started here. You know, I mean, how do we lighten this up? So it's interesting to me now coming into the new venture idea. So when we have a successful thing happening and it isn't happening quick enough, we make it serious. We make it a problem to fix. That's masculine. I had my last client say, well, did you ever read Men from Mars and Women from Venus? I'm like, well, I begrudgingly, years later, after it had been out and a success and all that talk about it was pretty much died down, bought it at a used bookstore. Thought it could help because I was going through what I was going through with Emil and was quite desperate, actually, to get it shifted because I had tried everything, basically. So I let myself approach Men from Mars and Women from Venus. I never read it. I actually donated it. And it's nothing against John Gray. He put out a great message, but I felt like I already had the intuitive knowing of that. And so my client said, and it's funny too, because a client of mine who's in her 80s, she just went with her husband to Costa Rica for a month, and they're wanting to reconnect and rekindle and disconnect from their kids at a whole new level so they can really share these lives, these years together. And she was asking me if I had that book, and I thought I had, and I went upstairs to check for it. And what I ended up coming across was my Tao of Relationships, the Tao, T-A-O. She just emailed me this week from Costa Rica and said, oh my God, we're halfway through the book and it's been perfect. We've been taking it really slow and really looking at the sayings and working with them and playing with them. And so it's all perfect. There's nothing wrong, right? So my client said, because guys, he said it in Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, guys like to fix things. And I said, yeah, it's not just that. And I just got an awareness, maybe it's, here's my mind looking for an answer or a conclusion, but maybe it's that we're a more masculine-geared country, more active, more young, and I've talked about that a lot. Whereas other countries like the Chinese country is more of a yin country, passive, more introverted, the invisible realms as opposed to the physical, tangible realms. So, I don't know, when we take action in this country, are we more action-oriented? So then, the expectations are even higher for results to come through. And so we're focused on what else can we fix? What else can we attend to? I don't know. But I know that in this new venture I've been in, the whole concept of it is play. And how do we make things easier? Listen to that wording. How do we lighten things up? How do we allow them to be playful and easy? And some of the birth of this topic today is from the question of how do we make things easier? Why do we have to have a conversation about making things easier, Allison? How long show dedicated to making things easier? Is it just that the mind's tendencies are to make things that complex or that complicated or that difficult or looking for a block or looking for a wall to run into? As my colleague was saying this week when she ran into that wall that had never been there before, the wall wasn't in front of her anymore. I mean, she wasn't feeling blocked. She was feeling clear and able to succeed with this new venture. The wall was behind her unexpectedly, and she ran into it. It was almost like she was looking for it. Yeah. Been having the dragonfly show up a lot this week. And the dragonfly, according to Animal Speaks, Ted Andrews' interpretation from the Native American culture is illusion and light. The dragonfly reminds us with its iridescent wings of the play of the light, of what is real, the light, and that this physical dimension is all just an illusion. It's Maya, as the Hindus put it and the yogic practice puts it. So, yeah. Can we birth something from the energy realms, from the idea realms? Can we birth it? And then as it's to be actioned, can we action it without having to get busy around it? Can we action by just being? Do we even know how to do that? So I'm starting a new telecall series, And there's a free column doing Monday night. And if you check my radio show, my homepage on my website, it's just in the beginning of this radio show, you can see it. It's in it, and it's about reconnecting to the magic of everyday life and tuning and activating and strengthening your higher self's vision to see that light, that iridescence on the dragonfly's wings, to come from that, to play with that, to be in that, as opposed to making things hard or heavy, but also as opposed to just, you know, feeling like life is uninspiring or flat or gray or dull, and restoring the power back to you at a whole new level. It feels like I've been asking, because I could feel my community asking for something, and it feels like, so I asked, what contribution can I be? And in receiving, it felt like it was, the word attunement kept coming up, like attune to the light, attunement to the magic. And that's what I do every day in my hands-on healing sessions. You know, I mean, my last client today, he didn't want to hear anything other than light floating music to receive the light in. And his spirit, I wrote this in his file actually the first couple of weeks, and then I stopped writing it. But his spirit or body or being or whatever he presents me with his human body and his spirit in the healing space is, I want more light. And it seems to be what people in general are asking for. And what it seems to be is an activation and attunement to actually the nature of these times that we're living in, which are bringing us into a lighter time, less dense, less thick, less physicalized. And at the same time, here's that letter V again that I'm seeing, bringing that light into the physically dense, so that they're not opposites anymore, but that they're happening and we're having one foot in each world. So if you want to join me, it's going to be an adventure. It's going to be coaching. There's going to be facilitating. There's going to be theta clearings, access consciousness clearings. We're going to do whatever it is that you guys require. And it's going to be putting forth a whole new energy into the matrix to help lighten up a quadrant of our world into more freedom. How's it get any better than that? What else is possible with creating our best lives ever? Thanks for joining me, y'all. Have the best weekend ever.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.